here at the Mellow Mushroom, as you'll hear the amazing soundtrack we've been listening to.
Hi, I'm Georgia.
And today we want to talk about those South Carolina Gamecocks.
Cock talk.
Yeah, cock talk. We're going to talk about cocks all day.
Hey, well, not all day, just for a little while.
Well, at least for the next 28 and a half minutes. Or so.
Oh, roundabout.
And we're you know, when you first talk about South Carolina, you have to, I mean, it kind of starts and ends with that guy, Steve Spurrier. And you can look at his, you can look at his record at, you know, what he did at Florida. You know, he was a quarterback back in the day as well. He knows what he's doing. And regardless of the track record, the guy knows how to recruit. The guy,
I mean, look what he did at Duke.
Yeah.
That was, that's what brought him back to Florida. I mean, I know eventually he would have went back to Florida.
Yeah.
We'll forget the whole Washington Redskin experience. Or experiment.
Hey, even Pete Carroll failed a few times before he got good.
Yeah.
You had to regroup. So. You had to figure out what.
But Bill Parcells took that team to the Super Bowl the next year.
But he's Bill Parcells.
I'm pretty tuned up. He's not a strategist.
But regardless, as far as
Taylor,
right? As far as
that's another show. Sorry.
As far as Spurrier is concerned, everything. I've always been a fan of his, and I'm not going to homer out on him or nothing like that. But for what he does, development wise.
Oh, certainly.
And, I mean, not only, I mean, because you sit there and say, we lead the league in recruiting every year. Okay, well, how come you can't win games? It's about recruiting the guys you're getting and knowing that you can reload every year.
Right.
In college, it's about reloading every year, not every 2 years.
I would like to know how you get anyone to go to Columbia, South Carolina.
I hear it's nice this time of year.
Okay.
Yeah,
this time of year doesn't last long, though.
No.
How would you get any? Like I said, I'm a bit biased when it comes to that, but
right. Well, in the same respect, as UGA will be coming up pretty soon on our previews. In fact, in a couple of them, how do you get somebody to go to Athens?
We don't want to talk that now.
Right.
But I mean,
it's
the best thing I can think about South Carolina is it's close to North Carolina barbecue.
That could be a reason, it helps when you're a winning franchise, and like we said,
the past 3 years, they've won 11 games, which is no easy task.
No, not in college football, not in the SEC. And they pretty much dominated the East, even though they didn't make the championship game last year.
They haven't won the East all those 3 years.
Right, but I mean, still with 11 wins.
One of those years, they won the East.
It's just the log jam that is the SEC, though.
And I chime in, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm always going to chime in with that. But
no, but
they, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Was that 33-4?
Yeah.
Six, sorry, for the past 3 years.
Right. You look at that average, and you're like, they're averaging 11-2 with a bowl game every year.
I think anyone would take that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go to, I mean, even Auburn would take that in the last couple of years. And they've been in a couple of championships.
Yeah. Or they try to buy it.
Right. Whichever works. You know, we won't get into Notre Dame like violations or anything like that, but you know,
academic cheating. Not actually paying people off.
Well, but since we are talking SEC, and like I said, you know, Spurrier with his pedigree, we don't have to go into it a whole lot because if you're listening to this show, I would imagine you've ran into Steve Spurrier somewhere before.
Yeah.
But you know, they went. What did you say? 10-2 last year.
11-2. 11 wins the past 3 years.
I mean, it's hard to bark at that. What did they do in the bowl game?
Well, they won.
Did they?
Well, yeah.
I don't have it in front of me. But it helps.
They beat Wisconsin 34-24.
Wisconsin, no slouch. They used to bring it. I believe one of the teams we just previewed is playing Wisconsin first out. So,
yes,
you know, we'll get to see that as well. But, you know, we'll get into their schedule a little bit later. And I agree with you. I'm not sure how he's recruiting people out to go play in Columbia, I guess, is where that is.
He may not be recruiting as much South Carolina as he's recruiting, I'm Steve Spurrier.
Could be.
I could teach you routes. I could get you at least a shot at the next level.
I mean, if you're a pass rusher and you go, I taught Clowney, wouldn't you want to go there?
Yeah. Oh,
it's like,
certainly.
It's like, oh, okay. Well, he's had Marcus Lattimore a couple years ago.
And he got drafted after his leg got ripped off and they stapled it back on.
He's going to be a beast this year. But, you know, as we transition through, you know.
So, last year, offensively.
Yeah.
Scoring-wise, 32nd.
In
the country.
Okay.
Not bad.
not bad. They had Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw is a good quarterback.
Well, I'll get the Connor Shaw thing in a little while. Rushing, 32nd. That's good.
Okay.
You're in the top fifth of the country,
okay,
roughly, if we're going to call 150 teams.
Right.
It's hard to tell how many teams we have
right
now. Passing, 40.
Okay.
Still good.
Yep.
Total, 36. That's offensively.
Okay. That's telling me that not only is their offense balanced, but that's telling me their defense is holding people.
Right, and I won't get in the Coastal Carolinas where they won 70-0.
You know, those are
70-10. Those are revenue generating games. So
right, for both
close
teams.
To them. So defensively,
yes,
12th in scoring.
Okay,
rushing, 50th.
Okay,
not a good sign. Passing, 12th.
Okay, so their rush defense needs help, but past that, they're still pretty balanced and pretty good at defense across the board.
And you know, I would think that would be flip flop with them being 11-2. You think their pass defense would be further behind because they're playing softer with a lead, and the rush defense would be further ahead because the teams aren't trying to rush against them.
Well, and it could be that they're okay giving up, you know, 100, 150 yard, 200 yard rusher.
Yeah, the old Dungy.
Against them. I'm okay giving up that on the ground because I can contain that.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up the big pass play.
Total, 19.
I mean,
top 20.
That sounds
top 20 defense. I mean,
it's a reverse of kind of what the kind of numbers probably the University of Florida had under Spurrier, because they were more offense driven, but they still had a great defense.
Oh yeah.
It's just you heard more
we
about
just
the
think
offense.
About Alex Brown. I mean, we can keep going. I mean, I'll stop at Alex Brown because all those guys make me sick when I talk about them because they were, you know, sick of seeing the backs of
right.
their jerseys instead of the fronts of their jerseys. So, in offense, they return 8 starters.
Okay.
That's nothing to sneeze at, really.
No.
We know one of them is not their quarterback, Connor Shaw.
Which
he was Mr. Third Down for them.
He was. He was very versatile.
And he would drop back, you know, 3rd and 6. They'd run a slant, wouldn't be open. He'd take off and get 8 yards.
Right.
That was his thing. Very tough guy. Great competitor. I hated to see him on the field against my team.
He was the wild card when during that game when UGA people would say, you know, what do you think about this game? I was like, as long as Connor Shaw is on the field, you got to always watch out for that game break.
Right. So defensively, they returned 6. We know who they lost. We know the number one guy they lost. Last year was kind of an off year for that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because everyone was rolling towards him.
To be fair, he didn't play that much.
Right.
For the most part, he was on the sidelines a lot of times. For whatever reason, that's not between me. That's between him and his coach and everything else.
Well, I mean, I think I even heard the coach say, hey, no matter what he does from here on out, he's contributed to this university enough to where he can really lay down and take a nap, and he's done enough. So, either here nor there.
Right.
They return the place kicker and the punter. And I know I bring this up every show. That's 1/3 of the game.
Yes.
And, I mean.
Well, and.
Field position and points.
And unlike when we talk about Alabama a little bit later on, their kicker is actually quite good.
Yes.
Doesn't miss a lot of big time kicks.
Right. And I don't know
What is that guy's name?
I don't know if he didn't miss a lot of big time kicks because Spurrier wasn't willing to kick the 46-yarder.
Right.
You know, because he'll go for it on 4th and 8 from his own 35.
Elliot Fry, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Elliot didn't do bad.
And like I said, maybe he wasn't put in bad positions. That still goes back to coaching.
Well,
and you can't fault the kicker for not being put in a bad spot.
You know, I'll bring this up with the Alabama one later, but Nick Saban may put his kicker in that position, but in that play call, Spurrier is not kicking the ball. He's punting the ball.
I think Spurrier would rather pass it.
He'd probably go for it at that point.
He would throw a Hail Mary or go for the first down.
Last year with Connor Shaw, I think he would have went for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's two coaching philosophies, and we see how they both shake it out. So.
You're correct. Key losses we just spoke about. Connor Shaw. Ellington.
Yes.
That's big, big deal. Rushing and receiving. I mean, damn. That dude, thorn in the side of anyone watching anybody play South Carolina. We, you know, the other guy, big number seven, Clowney. I'm really not downplaying the fella, but we've all heard enough about him. We've seen all his highlights. He's got his money. You know, his due was due.
Yeah, his hit against that Michigan guy a couple years ago still haunts me.
That's a $50 million hit for him.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm sure that's when Spurrier sat him down and said, I'm saving you for the pros.
All right, so, also, leading sack man from last year, Kelsey Quarles, 9.5 sacks.
Wow.
He's gone.
9.5 in the SEC, that's pretty good.
And, you know, it's not the Big 12.
Did they play Texas A&M last year?
I don't think so. It's not the Big 12. You know, the Big 12, they're going to throw it 50 times a game.
Right.
So 9.5 sacks is not that big a deal.
Okay. Well, 9.5, and he didn't go against either of the Matthews brothers. That's why I was bringing up Texas A&M. So, okay.
That makes sense.
It's pretty hard to get past
Victor Hampton. A big contributor to them.
Yes.
Lost him. Jimmy LeGree. He's gone. Cornerback. The defensive backfield is... They may struggle. They're inexperienced, to say the least. I mean, it's really going to come down. And I know I keep bringing this up. It's going to come down to special teams. It's going to come down to what Dylan Thompson, hey buddy, can do. And how much Mike Davis can contribute. Who is there going to be their MVP of their team, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, because, you know, past that, you got Shaq Rowland is pretty much their best wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
And it's not the personal Nick Jones or any of those other guys, but at 6'1", 176, with a good bit of speed, Shaq's the guy.
Yes, for sure.
If there's a pass being thrown, it's probably his direction.
Yes.
You know, you go down Farrell Cooper and some of those guys.
Now, see, he's going to contribute in the special teams, too. You know, that's one of the things I love to harp on. But Farrell, he's going to... Really, he's going to be the Ace Sanders of this year.
Was Ace a game back? I thought he was.
He's the one who broke it open a couple years ago.
I have met Ace down in Jacksonville. He is a very cool guy.
Yeah, remember when they finger blasted Georgia in the first 2.5 minutes? It was 21-0.
Nice terminology.
Hey, I think that's
friendly.
Yeah,
friendly,
yeah.
Good enough for us, right?
Yeah, but Farrell Cooper, I mean, he's going to be ace.
Yeah.
Maybe that's fair, maybe that's not fair. I mean, who knows? And if you want to move over to the defensive side, Bryson Williams, strong safety.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a strong safety guy. I kind of like strong safeties. Whether or not they make it to the NFL, they probably graduate and go be in the CIA.
I don't think you play strong safety. You just like strong safety.
I do like strong safety. That's my favorite position. And within that, they move on and continue to pursue that as a profession.
Right.
They go to the CIA. They go to the FBI. They're active. They're in the mix on everything. Doesn't matter. Even if they go be a manager at Home Depot, they're still in the mix. Strong safeties are always in the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy like Bryson Williams, he's going to be right there. You know, you got Sky Moore, linebacker. All these guys are going to step up, like, whether they like it or not.
Now, South Carolina, are they also another team like Auburn that used the star position? Are they not?
Spur.
Or the whatever you want to call it.
They use the spur position.
Whatever you want to call it.
It's
but,
called the spur with them.
But how Auburn
Sir
uses...
Sir Big Spur to you.
Shout out to mascots and such.
Sherrod Galati. That will be the spur position.
Yes. But how Auburn uses...
The star.
The star position is more of an extra defensive back.
Yes.
Here it's an extra linebacker.
Oh, yes. He's definitely closer to the line than the star position.
Right. And, I mean, you know, what's the advantages of having a position like that over, you know, just having, you know, an extra defensive back, Greg?
Well, you're able to be more flexible with the guys on the interior. You can run your stunts and your linebacker blitzes because – one of your blitzes is off. You've still got the spur that's going to be closer to the line, and he's even going to be there to pick up the running back when the defensive end is off.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe the defensive end went inside.
Yeah.
That was totally wrong.
And the running back made it past him.
The Spurs right there. So I see the benefits of that. I just hate to use the word gimmick.
Yeah.
But when we only see maybe 3 to 6 teams out of 130 using that,
it's
copycat league. It's like the NFL. You know, you saw the Wildcat with Ronnie Brown. And he had, what, 5 touchdowns against the Patriots? So what happened 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
Everyone runs a mile.
Yep.
It's copycat.
So, it is. It's all about parody.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if it worked, it would work. We wouldn't have to guess if it was working.
Right. But, you know, if you can look at, you know, we'll go one offensive and one defensive, you know, because we talked a lot about the special teams is, you know, having Tyler Hull being your senior punter is going to mean a lot. Farrow Cooper is going to be the returner. Their long snapper, Drew Williams, is very good at what he did. But you could pick, like, one offensive player and one defensive player that you're tuned into because you feel like they're going to really make an impact on this game. Who are you looking at?
Bird. Damien Bird in offense. I've seen him do it for the past few years. I have no doubt that dude... Sorry, Damari Bird. There's too many D's. Bird, I should have just left it at Bird.
Yeah.
I've seen Bird do it too many times. He gets open, he runs good routes. Physical, good hands, he's going to make it happen. Give him a chance, the ball's in there, he's going to go up and get it. I've seen him do it over and over. I mean, he's a senior now, so this is going to be the fourth year I've watched him.
Yeah.
Torch my team, torch other teams. All I watch is SEC. I kind of trickle in, you know, a little Big 12, whatnot, after everything's over, what's the West Coast? Time zone catches up to us. So, I'm going to go with Bird. I mean, Davis goes without saying.
Right.
You know, Thompson, hey, buddy, he's going to be the difference. I mean, with his 55% passing completion.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm a quarterback guy anyway, and I'll watch for Thompson just because I feel like he's got something to bring in the game. But,
yeah.
To me, it's going to come down to Farrow Cooper, not just because he has a cool name, but I feel like he's going to start really breaking out, and he's going to really start getting on some radars.
I would have brought him up if you said special teams.
Right.
Not offensively. Offensively, he's going to be...
I think we're talking about a Sammy Watkins here. He's not only going to be a stud receiver, but he's going to return a handful of kicks as well.
I'm trying to think of a return specialist that kind of contributed on offense a little bit. Maybe like a
we talking college or
maybe like a Darren Sproles when he was at Kansas State.
Okay.
You know how when he would get the ball at Kansas State. Oh no, Darren Sproles when he was with San Diego.
Okay.
Remember that playoff game?
Yep.
Where he had 300 total yards, 280 of it was on special teams.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of guy Farrell Cooper would be. He might take a hand off on a jet sweep.
Are you saying he could be the next NFL's version of Devin Hester?
But more offensively minded.
Right.
Like 40 to 50 yards a game on offense. You know, Devin won't do that this year. Sorry.
We never know.
We do know. Sorry.
I don't know. I've seen some interesting things that we talked about on the Falcons on show we do every week as well.
But, I think with Devin
There's some interesting play call coming up that if it's run to perfection, Hester's going to be very involved.
My thing with Hester is, and I know we're getting off track.
Yeah.
He is a straight ahead, one cut, gone.
He's a north-south guy.
So, I'm picturing what you're trying to say, he's going to get the ball in a jet sweep. So that's going to be two cuts. He's going to have to cut up field and then miss someone else.
Right.
Devin Hester's always been a one cut and gone. Now, he might be great on punt returns and kick returns. I personally don't think they should have ever got rid of Eric Wings. But
who did quite well for the Dolphins over the weekend, but that's a completely different subject as well.
Nonetheless, Farrell Cooper.
Yeah.
He is going to be kind of like Sproles was with the Chargers. And like I said, if I had to coach any of my guys up against them, break down in front of them, don't try to hit them too hard. Grab him by the dreadlocks, or if he doesn't have dreadlocks, grab him by the socks. Just bring him down,
yeah.
Because that dude's going to be dangerous. So the other one's defensively, right?
Yeah, defensively, who you like?
I got to go with Bryson Williams, man. I'm a strong safety guy. I mean, that's the position. I mean, he can also play cornerback. So if you've got a strong safety with the size to play strong safety and the mobility and agility to play corner, it's only going to help you. Because like we were talking about the spur position, strong safety's going to have to play closer to the line because the spur is going to have flat responsibilities, running back responsibilities, quarterback first responsibilities, and run support. So a strong safety, I mean, the spur might seem like an advantage thing,
right,
but it's really taken away from the linebacker. So the strong safety is going to have to kind of half-ass be a linebacker.
I mean,
you know, last year the linebackers were a weakness.
Yes.
They'll be the first to admit that.
Right.
They, meaning South Carolina.
Right.
Now, what I see, they're a strength. They are the strength of the defense.
And
linebackers, I mean, they're what gets it done. And, you know, you're going to couple that. They've got the third-ranked O-line in the NCAA right now.
Well, that's a Spurrier thing as well. He's good at building offensive lines.
And it's all subjective because they haven't played anybody but each other. They also have the third-ranked linebackers in the NCAA, which is also subjective because they haven't tackled anyone but each other.
Right.
So those are two very, very important units on the team. And you couple that, well, they've won 18 straight at home.
Right. I mean,
and they've got a sweet home schedule too.
They do have an interesting schedule. We'll get into it just in a few seconds.
Yes.
But to me, Gerald Dixon Jr., the defensive tackle, he's a junior this year, 6'3", 323. When you look at a defensive tackle, you want him to do one of two things. Either you want him to be able to bum rush and be the attack, you know, the rushing attack that you need on the quarterback, or you want him to command double and triple teams to free up your ends to
right.
be able to rush, or your linebackers
right.
as well. I think he can do both.
Oh.
I think he can easily do both. He can either maul somebody and run through when he wants, or he can command the double and triple team and allow, you know, Darius English and Gerald Dixon to come around. He can allow Kawan Lewis and Sky Moore. At this point, he might could even he could get what was the guy you mentioned? Forgot his name. Williams, maybe? Bryson Williams?
Oh, the strong safety.
Yeah. I mean, if he commands enough of a double or triple team, Bryson may have enough time to run in there and get a sack.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it's going to all hinge on, and that's not to take away from JT Surratt, but to me, Gerald Dixon Jr. is the focal point, the apex of this defense.
Yeah.
If he's successful, then they're going to have some good numbers.
Yeah, and it's all going to stem off the way Lorenzo Ward chooses to utilize his parts.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's all going to be dictated by how Dylan Thompson,
it's going to have a lot to do with it, man.
You know, Mike Davis, he's a 1,200-yard guy already. So I don't think they're really worried about that.
Well, and we'll go, let's jump into their schedule. And we both have them right around 10-2. Like you said, absolute worst, 8-4, absolute best, 11-1. More than likely, they're going to be 10-2. We'll go through their schedule kind of game by game real quick, and then we'll say where those losses we think are.
Key games.
Yes.
At home. Georgia. No matter where they play, they can play in Puerto Rico. That's a key game for them.
They play on the moon, maybe.
I'd like to be there, but
it'd be interesting.
They got Missouri at home.
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, they have a new quarterback. Okay, but I think the backup quarterback played better than Franklin last year.
Right.
Tennessee at home. Maybe that's a laugher. Remember what happened last year?
Yeah.
Tennessee beat them.
True.
And that cost South Carolina the SEC East. Without that loss, they would have played Auburn.
Yeah.
So maybe revenge. Maybe come out too excited, come out sweating too much. Who knows? On the road, Auburn.
The defending SEC champions.
Yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Everyone knows how I feel about that. Or
yeah.
Maybe everyone who hadn't heard, re-listen. On the road at Florida. Okay, 4-8 last year.
Clearly, Florida is not a 4-8 team. Can they rebound? They should. Will they?
No.
I don't think they're ready to compete on this level yet.
another road game. Doesn't have any conference implications.
Right.
Clemson.
But it's the battle of the state.
They were an 11-1 team, and I remember Spurrier, after they beat Clemson, saying something about winning the state championship 3 years in a row. And then after Dabo won the Orange Bowl this past year, ain't it great to be the first South Carolina team to win the Orange Bowl? So there's kind of snipping back and forth. Maybe they should arm wrestle and just get it over with. I don't know. Like you said, 11-1's max to me.
Yeah.
I really don't have a for sure loss, but I know they will have a loss.
Well, you know, since we both kind of have them at 10-2, 10-2-ish, where do you see the two losses?
I see the two losses realistically coming. This is from a Georgia fan. The two losses coming from Auburn and Clemson. And I know everyone's going to say Clemson lost their quarterback, so did South Carolina. South Carolina lost a great third down receiver in Ellington. They lost their best third down running back in Connor Shaw. They lost a great pass rusher. Clemson lost their quarterback. They lost their number one receiver.
Yes, and special teams guy.
Yeah, and they lost a good running back.
Right.
They didn't lose their top pass rusher.
No, they didn't.
And that might be the difference. Because he's there. He came back for a reason. I don't care what the reason was. Might have been because he stubbed his toe. Who knows?
Actually, if you've never been to Clemson, it's actually a pretty cool little place there, especially. So he may have come back for the ambiance. I don't know.
It could be, but if we're going to compare those teams together, they both lost important pieces on defense, important pieces on offense, but one supreme pass rusher left and one supreme pass rusher stayed. So I give Clemson the edge in that game. And, you know, South Carolina, I think, will beat Georgia just because of Central Carolina.
Yeah, the two losses I have, I think Clemson lost enough to where they can't, they're not going to be able to beat South Carolina. I think it's going to be a real close game, but that, you know, when it comes down to a coin flip, you need one way or the other to decide one way or the other.
Right.
The kind of tiebreaker doesn't go to Clemson. I do think Auburn is good enough because they're better this year, as we've said before. They're better this year than they were last year. They're just not as lucky. But a lot of times talent will beat luck. A lot of times, not all the time.
Right.
So I think Auburn is going to be one of the losses. And, you know, you talked about East Carolina in week two being a trap game.
Yeah, so we can go to my maximum worst.
Because they have
8-4.
Yeah, because they have Georgia the next week. I think they are going to beat Georgia because they're going to rebound. And the reason they're going to rebound is because East Carolina is going to pull off not really a miracle, but, I mean, they won, what, 9 or 10 games last year?
10-3.
They were 10-3 last year. East Carolina, yeah, they're on a different, they're not in the SEC, but.
They're in some kind of seat.
Could they beat, you know, Spurrier? Yeah, I think they can.
Didn't they beat Virginia Tech a couple years ago?
Believe
when they
so.
Were like,
I mean,
top five?
They are like the upset special, so to say.
Right.
And it could be easily be, you know, 21-20. It could easily be 23-20, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll probably be a little higher score than that, but I think it's going to be real close, you know, within 3 or 4 points, but I think East Carolina and Auburn are going to be the two losses.
Oh, so I want to piggyback on that because 8-4 is my worst.
Right.
So I don't think A&M is an issue.
No, not anymore.
8-4 worst.
Even though their quarterback is better this year overall, like a complete package as opposed to Manziel.
Yeah.
As far as the scheme, but yeah, A&M's not.
Well, they lost Mike Evans.
Yeah.
They lost
Jake Matthews.
They lost all kinds of weapons. It's not just about Johnny Football. So I want to talk worst case scenario. They beat A&M. La-di-da. Lose East Carolina. They lose East Carolina, they're going to press and they're going to lose to Georgia.
Okay.
They lose those two games, they're definitely losing to Auburn and or Florida or Clemson. I don't pick them 8-5. I don't pick them 7-5.
No.
8-4. They won't lose to Florida and Clemson.
And once again, that is the, you know, statistical
maximum
worst.
The maximum worst
case scenario.
I don't believe it will happen, but if they lose to East Carolina, they're not beating Georgia.
But I will
Georgia
say
Georgia has a bye week before South Carolina for the first time I can remember since I think South Carolina joined the conference.
So whoever did this schedule, whether Rick wants to take credit or not, did a good thing.
Because if you look at it, South Carolina's had the bye weeks.
Yes.
Or they've had the 10-day rest because they start on Thursday.
Yep.
That's been what's going on.
Yep.
So, I mean, who cares if that's the deciding factor? But Georgia's always recovering from pot smoking suspensions or suspended license or suspensions and whatnot. And now, so far, I'm going to cross my toes. The only guys that are going to be out are guys that are hurt.
Yes. At the moment.
Look, no, those are two. I mean, Scott Wesley and Malcolm Mitchell, I mean, those are two contributors. But they were hurt last year. Malcolm Mitchell played four snaps last year.
Yeah.
After the South Carolina game, Scott Wesley didn't do much of anything.
Right.
So they can play without those guys. It's not really that big of a shock to the system. It's not like Todd Gurley getting a gun charge.
Well, and let me throw this out here as we're winding down not only this show but talk of the SEC East. Are they the favorite to win the East?
Until they're beaten, yes. You can't win 33 games in 3 years and not be the favorite.
Right.
And I am a dog guy. No one's going to hear this ever and not think I'm not a dog guy. But they're the favorites until they're knocked off because they have Georgia's number. Although, they've won those 11 games and only been the conference championship one time.
But tiebreakers are what they are, so... Yeah, they are what they are. We got to decide one way or the other.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean...
I think I just saw... The other day I was looking through something.
Well, and, you know, I'll bring this up I'll bring this up in the next one as well. In being the East favorite, are they good enough to beat Alabama in the West and make the 4-team playoff?
No. They're good enough to beat Mississippi State.
So is South Carolina going to make that 4-team playoff?
No.
And I would have to agree with that. They would have to win the SEC and still have
it.
And they would be one or two losses to be close.
No, losses won't get them there. They won't be voted in.
No, if they're 11-2 and they won the SEC, I don't think they're in.
No, they're going to be still at the outback bowl. Maybe the Sugar Bowl.
You're going to have to be 12-1 to make the SEC.
Or have some fantastic performances.
Yes.
So I was just going to bring this up. 25 years ago.
Yes.
Alabama, Auburn, and Tennessee won the SEC. Alabama, 10-2. Auburn, 10-2. Tennessee, 11-1. All of them 6-1 in the conference.
Okay.
25 years ago. Really doesn't mean anything. I think it's funny.
Well, I feel like, you know, in the same way that we've said before, that LSU is bound to rebound, and by rebound be more relevant because they're still putting up numbers. I feel like Tennessee in the next, you know, within the next 3 years is going to start to rise back to the top because they're recruiting better. They've got a good program going. But you know, to kind of close the book on South Carolina, we got them both at around 10-2. More than likely, they're going to make the SEC playoff. I mean, the SEC title game. They're probably going to lose to Alabama and not be in the 4-team playoff. But once again, Spurrier's looking at 10 or 11 wins, and he's going to go down as one of the better collegiate coaches.
Yeah, I can't think of more than maybe 3 or 4 I'd pick ahead of him, and I wouldn't even count New Rockne ahead of him.
Yeah,
I think New Rockne was a product of the media being centralized in Notre Dame. And that's a whole, it's not a conspiracy theory, that's just a whole other ball of wax, bag of marbles, basket of cats, however you want to look at it. Yeah, he knew Rockne fine, but he wasn't a strategist.
It's true. And like I said, to close the book on South Carolina, we both got them right at 10-2.
10-2.
We think Auburn's going to end up beating them, and you got Clemson being the other loss. I got East Carolina being the other loss. But, you know, regardless, South Carolina fans, you're going to have a good year. You're going to enjoy going to games. It's going to be a lot of fun to be a Gamecock. And
don't forget, Cervix Spur.
Can't forget that.
Reserve your seat on the Cockaboose.
You got to get on the Cockaboose.
Straight away.
In fact, hopefully we get an opportunity to go up to the Cockaboose today.
We will do our next South Carolina broadcast from the Cockaboose.
We will try.
We will.
We'll put in some calls and see what happens.
Unless it's next preseason.
We're going to try our best.
On that Cockaboose.
If any of you guys have connections to the Cockaboose, by all means, let us know. We would love to do a live live show straight from you guys and listen to you guys about what's going on.
I just want some of that barbecue.
I hear it's good.
You can go up north, get me all that yellow mustard barbecue that you got, bring it down to me. You can even throw coleslaw on it, because I know y'all guys do that. Don't even ask. They'll toss coleslaw on your barbecue sandwich. You know that, right?
No.
If you ask for a barbecue sandwich, you get coleslaw on it. And even, what is this? They'll just toss it on there.
Well, regardless,
it's not that bad.
It's making me hungry, and I just ate. But
it's actually not that bad. Get your vegetables.
But Gamecock fans, if you want to send anything our way, if you think we got something right, got something wrong, something we didn't mention, something we're not thinking about,
yell at me. Send me a picture of your feet. Doesn't matter.
That's at Chief Ahab with two E's on Twitter for that. I'm at the Impact 99 at 3 End Zone. We'll get you to the show Twitter, as well as if you want to email us 3endzone@gmail.com. We appreciate Impact Media letting us do this week, and Mellow Mushroom as well, who has had an awesome soundtrack all day.
They have.
And for Mr. Joe Pym, I am your host, Jeremy York. We'll see you guys for the Alabama preview.
That's right. Thanks for listening.